not just faith, but it's more about believing. And I think sometimes the church forgets that they're supposed to be believers. Come on, we end up being attenders, right? Spectators. But He wants you and I to be believers, to really believe what the Word says. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank You, Lord God, for Your Word. Thank You that it declares to us what we should be as children of God. And so now as we open up Your Word, let us receive that Word as our own, and we'll give You glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Go ahead and open up your Bibles, and we're going to go ahead and open up to the faith chapter. Everybody know what the faith chapter is? Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to just dive right in to verse 1 here. It's really the definition of faith. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I want us to just focus in on the fact that it's the evidence of things not seen. Okay? That's what faith is. Faith is taking God at His Word without any visual confirmation. Amen. That's what a lot of folks don't understand is for you and I to believe God, for us to have faith, then we've got to, especially faith in God, we have to believe His Word without ever seeing a visual confirmation of it. In other words, God's Word's true whether you can see it or not. God's working on your behalf whether you can see it or not. God is God whether you can see Him or not. See, most people will say, well, I can't believe in a God I can't see. Well, you're not going to believe in Jehovah God then. Come on, because you've got to take Him by faith. If you jump down there and look at verse 6, look what it says. It says in Hebrews verse 6, 11 there, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Notice that. You've got to believe that He is. Believe that He is. How many here believe that He's God? Well, everybody ought to have their hand up because you're in His house, so you must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And see, a lot of folks don't even know Him, so they don't even believe that He is. But then there's those that believe He is, but they don't actually believe that He's a rewarder. God wants you to have every promise in the Word. Did you realize that? God wants anything that God says you can have, He wants you to have. Oh, but now, Pastor, some of that stuff I don't know about. And see, that's the problem. You don't believe it. You must believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What do you mean diligent? I mean stay after. And I'm not talking about, you know, just visiting Him every now and then. Come on, now how many of you know you got some family that just visit every now and then? Right? How many know some of you got some cousins that you just see like once a year, once every 2 years? And, you know, and I know that you have just a fantastic relationship with them, right? No. The truth is, it's almost like you're around strangers because you don't see them very often. You don't know anything about them. They don't know anything really about you. Now, I know social media is around. People keep up with contact. But I'm talking about just getting to know somebody. If you just visit every now and then, you really don't get to know Him. And see, it's the same thing with God. If you just visit God every now and then, how are you going to get to know Him? You're going to feel odd talking to Him. Right? But if you have relationship with Him, when you pray, it's not odd. I don't have any problem asking my daddy God for anything. You're looking at me funny. Stephanie just told you a few minutes ago, I'm His child, I'm a tither, I'm a giver, I'm a follower, I'm a not just a fan, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. He's my daddy, I'm His son. Jesus is my elder brother. and my Savior. Oh, that's blasphemy to say he's your brother. The Bible says we're heirs and joint heirs with him. He's the Son of God, right? And we're sons and daughters of God. We're relation. Come on, we got the same blood flowing on the inside of us. If you do a DNA check with Jesus and us, we got the same DNA, praise God. Come on, you ought to get excited about that. You got God's DNA on the inside of you. So I do believe God. I do believe He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I have a relationship with God, and I don't mind, because I'm going to tell you, whether you know it or not, God knows about you. Whether you have a deep relationship with Him or not, He still knows all about you. So you might as well just go ahead and come clean with Him and get a good relationship with Him and diligently seek after the things He wants you already to have. Amen. So we believe God without actually ever seeing. I've never seen God. I've never seen Jesus. I've never had a vision of Jesus. Now, have I had Him speak to me? I believe so. Through the still small voice, I believe God talks to us all the time if we're listening. Come on now. You see, but you got to be listening. You can't be so busy in the world you don't have time to hear Him. Come on now. You know, a lot of marriages, the reason they go bad is because there's no communication. Everybody's busy. This one's working, that one's working. Don't take time to just sit down and talk. If you want a good relationship with God, take time to sit down and talk. Spend some time with Him. Let Him talk some. In other words, while you're praying, just shut up sometimes and just let Him talk. Listen and let Him speak to you, because He will. So we got to believe this. Now, I want to show you something over here in Luke chapter 16. Go over here with me, because we're talking about believing and that being part of our faith. In chapter 16 of Luke, look at verse 19. Jesus is giving some parables here. And He says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let him hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one rose from the dead. Now, let me just help you just a little bit and give you just a little background on this. Jesus has given you time. Understand that Jesus was an Old Testament prophet up until his crucifixion, because he's still operating under the Old Covenant, under the Old Testament. Jesus was the one that brought the new covenant in. So during this time, before Jesus Christ had paid the price for you and I, before he went to hell and paid the price for our sin, hell was called Hades, and it was a place of two compartments. You had the torment side of Hades, and you had the paradise side of Hades, which was called Abraham's bosom in the story that we just read about. So when we're reading about this, you have to understand that when Lazarus died, he went to the paradise side of Hades, or hell, however you want to call it. And then the rich man, when he died, he went to the torment side. Notice that he's in torments, in flame. Okay? So I want to show you that. But apparently, they could see from one side to the other. Now, I don't know if the people in Hades that were in paradise could see the torment going on, but Father Abraham could. Because when he spoke to him from that place, he asked him that he would send Lazarus with a drop of water to cool his tongue. And Abraham lets him know real quick. He says, listen, where you're at, we can't come. Where we're at, you cannot come. And then, of course, he goes in and starts talking about his brothers, concerned about them. So apparently part of this torment was knowing that you left family. Remembering your family. Now, I just want to go ahead and state this thing. Lazarus did not go to the paradise side of Hades because he was a beggar and poor. See, a lot of preachers have gotten so into religion, and they try to make it sound like, well, you know, if you're a beggar and you're poor, then you'll get to go to heaven. Had nothing to do with him going to the paradise side. Didn't have anything to do with him having a rough life on this earth. That's revealed to us, see, later in the scriptures, because as we go on, we find out that the rich man, he's in torment. And then he says, well, would you please send Lazarus to, I've got five brothers, would you send him to warn my five brothers that they would repent and not come to this place? And Father Abraham says, listen, they've got Moses and the prophets. You see, you understand, under the old covenant, you had the law of Moses and you had the prophets that spoke the word to you. And he said, they've got them. Let them hear them. And he said, no. Listen, if you send somebody from the dead, somebody raised from the dead, they'll listen to them and they'll repent. And he said, no. If they won't believe Moses and the prophets, then they won't believe somebody raised from the dead. See, we have the clue there that says that apparently Lazarus believed Moses and the prophets, and therefore he's in paradise, and the rich man never would believe, to the point that he also wanted Lazarus to go. He knew his brothers wouldn't believe it. They won't believe, but if you send somebody, maybe they'll believe. I don't want them to come here. See, so where they were at, paradise and torment was based solely on whether or not they believed Moses and the prophet. Or in other words, whether they believed the word of God or not. Didn't have anything to do. The rich man had anything he wanted in this life. Did you see that? He wore fine clothes. He ate sumptuously. Lazarus just would like to have the crumbs. But you see, here's the thing. You've got to see where it's coming from. See how it's working. See what's going on. You understand that Lazarus did not go because of that. Not because he was poor. Not because he was hungry. Not because of it. What he did was he went because he believed Moses and the prophets. Now, I want us to see that, because I'm going to tell you something. You are not going to heaven unless you believe the Word of God and do it. You might as well to get that, because no matter how good a person you are, no matter how bad a person you are, no matter how poor you are, no matter how rich you are, your eternity is not based on your social status. I've been to funerals where they talked about that person and you'd have thought they was a saint. You know, how good they were and how generous they was and what a loving person they was. What a loving father they was. How good they were all to the family. But they had never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And therefore, all that was in vain, because the only way to get to heaven is by accepting the Word of God concerning Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. Believing that He died on a cross for your sins,
was placed in the tomb, and on the third day he rose again. You have to believe that. See, that's faith. Faith is believing that Jesus is the Savior of the world. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how good you are to the church. Sometimes folks will give to churches and they'll do things for churches and stuff because it makes them feel good about themselves. But I'm going to tell you, it still won't get you to heaven. You can build buildings, you can finance buildings, you can do, but that don't matter. What matters is, do you believe? Because belief makes the difference between whether you're going to heaven or whether you're going to hell. Now, I know this may seem a little strong, but see, we have to understand that He's a faith God. And a faith God means He's a God that you've got to believe in without seeing Him. And He's given us His Word so that we can believe that Word and receive Him as our Savior. But it's up to us to take the Word and do what the Word says. Look, let me show you something over here. I'm going to read to you. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Now, you'll just have to try to follow along if you can. Because I'm going to go with Amplified on this. And Amplified expounds on a lot of words. But you can should be able to keep up with me. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Let's go there. Hebrews 3, 7 says this. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as happened in the rebellion of Israel and their provocation and embitterment of me in the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers tried my patience and tested my forbearance and found I stood their test, and they saw my works for 40 years. And so I was provoked, displeased, and sorely grieved with that generation and said, they always err and are led astray in their hearts, and they have not perceived or recognized my ways and become progressively better and more experimentally and intimately acquainted with them. Accordingly, I swore in my wrath and indignation, they shall not enter into my rest. Therefore, beware, brethren, take care, lest there be in any of you a wicked, unbelieving heart, which refuses to cleave to, trust in, and rely on Him, leading you to turn away and desert or stand aloof from the living God. But instead, warn, admonish, urge, and encourage one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened into settled rebellion by the deceitfulness of sin, by the fraudulence, the stratagem, the trickery which the delusive glamour of this sin may play on him. For we have become fellows with Christ, the Messiah, and share in all He has for us, if only we hold our first newborn confidence and original assurance expectation, in the virtue of which we are believers, firm and unshaken to the end. Then while it is still called today, if you would hear His voice, and when you hear it, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the desert when the people provoked and irritated and embittered God against them. For who were they who heard and yet were rebellious and provoked Him? Was it not all those that came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was He irritated and provoked and grieved for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose dismembered bodies were strewn and left in the desert? And to whom did He swear that they should not enter into His rest, but to those who disobeyed, who had not listened to His word, who refused to be compliant or be persuaded? So we see that they were not able to enter into His rest because of their unwillingness to adhere to and trust in and rely on God. Unbelief had shut them out. Now, I know that was a lot, but He's talking about the people of Israel. And He's talking about Numbers 13 and Numbers 14 here. When the people, He's ready to bring them into the promised land. Told them He's already given it to them. And when He sends the spies, they come back and 10 of them's got the evil report. And the people believe the evil report. And they start saying, well, we wish we'd have stayed back in Egypt and all that. And God said, fine. You won't get to go into the promised land. I'll let your kids, all those 20 and under, they'll make it. But the rest of you, you're going to wander for 40 years in the desert. You'll die in the desert and you'll never see the promised land. And so here the writer of Hebrews is given, he's given us a comparison. And he's saying, just like they disobeyed God, they wouldn't believe God, do what God said, even though He gave them the word to do it. They died in the desert. They never saw their promised land. Right now, today, he said, if you hear His voice and you harden your heart and you don't do what He says, then you'll not make it to your promised land. You'll not make it to heaven. So God is trying to get us to see and understand that we need to make sure that we have faith in the Word of God, faith in God, and do what God says to do. It's not a hard thing. The problem is we sometimes want to hold so much onto the world that we don't want to do what God wants us to do. Amen, Pastor. Just because everything's going good right now does not mean that you can leave God out. And see, I think sometimes that's what we do. Oh, man, things are going good for me. I got a good job. I'm making good money. Things are going well. My family's well. I'm well. All that. You know, all it takes is that. One phone call. Just like that. It's all it takes. Just one phone call. One incident. One accident. And your whole world can be changed. Everything turned upside down. So don't get real comfortable, even if things is real good. Now, thank God, I know His blessings are upon us. But you can never forget where those blessings come from. You've got to always understand that without God, you're nothing. With Him, you're everything. Let me just give you that. Go to Luke chapter 12 there with me. Luke chapter 12. Get there. Let's look at verse 16. He's talking about another parable here. Look at this. And He spake a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Then he goes on and he says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. See, this guy is blessed of God. He's blessed with a bountiful harvest. But here's the thing, see, a lot of times what happens when folks start getting blessed, and it's not always, you know, that they're Christians, but people start acquiring things. And that's why the Bible tells us that we got to be careful not to trust in riches. God wants you to have them, but they shouldn't be what you trust in. This guy, he has a bountiful harvest. So much that he's going to tear down his barns and build bigger barns and have stuff stored up for years. Notice that he never thought one time about helping his neighbors out. Never thought one time about thanking God for it. All he was thinking about was himself and what he had and what he was going to do with what he had. See, what I'm trying to tell you here, it don't matter how much you've got. Notice that he said, you fool, tonight. It was going to change just like that. In one night, everything that he thought he had was going to be gone because he was going to be gone. And everything that he had worked so hard for, everything that he was planning on doing, it all changed. Somebody else is going to get it now. See, a lot of times here on this earth, we get so carried away with her. Oh, I'm going to make a big living. I'm going to get a big bank account and all that. You know, if you die and don't get it, it didn't help you none. I see it happening all the time that people are working to get the riches and they're buying land and they're saving money and they're accumulating all this stuff on the earth. But here's the thing, you can't take it with you. But man, you can be a blessing while you're on the earth. And you can help people and you can share with people and God sees the things we do. I would rather be rewarded of God for the things that I'm doing that are good than to think that I'm something because of what I've accumulated. Because there's so many folks that think that's what gives them status. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I want my status to be with Him. How about you? I want my standing to be with God. Now, that don't mean I don't want... I'll take barns full of plenty. And you will too. But I promise you, I'm not going to forget where they came from. The one that blessed me. I know where I've been. I know where I'm at. And I know where I'm going. Amen. And see, there's joy in that. Pastor Ed and I, we can look back when we didn't have nothing to eat much. We can look back when our income or whatever we bought was based solely on being laid off in the wintertime. Whatever unemployment would pay. Because the jobs wouldn't work all winter. Amen. We lived our young life in debt. For everything. If we needed a new couch, we'd have to go buy it on credit. Sits real quiet in here. And a lot of you did the same thing. But you see, we didn't know then what we know now about the blessing of the Lord. See, you're looking at me funny again. We found out that when we gave to God what belonged to God, God would multiply what we had. And we're still finding that out. He's still doing that same thing. Now, we sure ain't rich yet. Notice I said yet. Because we ain't ruling that out. Why? Because the wealth of the wicked's laid up for the just. I'm part of that. You are too. And we're believing God for that. We're not totally debt free yet, but we're not far off now, praise God. So you're looking at me. Yeah, and see, I give Him all the glory. The difference is the mindset. The difference is the heart change of knowing that God is for me, not against me. And God blesses and multiplies. And we've learned to give when God says give. Not just tithes and offerings, but whenever He says give, to who He says give. We've learned that the things of this earth really don't mean anything. That the most important thing we could ever have is God in our life, God's protection over our family. Amen. For you guys realize it or not, every night I pray for you. I pray protection over you. I pray blessing over you. Why? Because you're my kids. We're all family. And we pray that. Not only do I pray it over my personal family, my immediate family, I pray it over all of you. And I expect God to move in that. Now, He can't do it if you don't let Him. But I'm still going to pray it over you. See, I want you to believe the word about you. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. I want to see everybody believe the word concerning salvation. But I also want to see every one of you believe the word concerning healing. I want you to believe the word concerning finances. I want you to believe the word concerning abundant life. Because God wants you to have all of that. Isn't that good news? I did not know that when I was younger. I wish I had. Some of you are young, you're just getting your start, man. Get in there, be tithers, be givers, put God first in your life and watch Him promote you. He'll give you favor in places that you'll never believe. Well, honestly do that. Why? Because that's just the kind of God He is. So we have to trust and believe. Don't trust in your riches and in your abilities and your things. That's what this guy did. But God said, you know what? Your soul's going to be required of you tonight. Then whose things are those going to be? All that hard work you did, all that stuff you had laid up, whose is it going to be then? Well, it don't matter because you're gone. It really don't. No matter how much you would have wanted this and not to get it, that not to get it, they'll probably get it. But you see, the main thing is, if I leave here, I don't care who gets it. Now, Lillian gets everything we got, but, you know, if she don't want it, that's fine. Don't matter to me. I don't need it no more because I'm going to be in paradise. Did you just hear what I said? I won't need it anymore because I'll be walking on streets of gold. I'll be living in a mansion. I know he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he said, there's many mansions. I'm preparing a place for you. I'm kind of pulling for the mansion. What about you? Come on now. I'm not one of them that just, I'll be glad if I just make it there. Well, thank God, you know, you got to make it there. But you don't have to make it there as a pauper. I read where there's a lot of rewards laid up. Come on now. Have you not read about the rewards in the Bible? It's quiet. You think you're just going to go to heaven and dance around a throne? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Welcome into the family of God. I'm going to make you ruler over many. What's that mean? I don't know. But if he said he's going to make you ruler over many, then he's going to make you ruler over things. You're not just going to go up there and sit around like you do here. You're not just going to go up there and listen to preaching like you do here. No, no, he's going to give you something to do. What's he going to give us? I don't know. But here's what I do know. That when Jesus ascended back to the Father, he got a glorified body that he could just buzz from heaven to earth and go through doors. You ever think about that? He just appears in the room. Well, we're going to get a glorified body like that. Because flesh and blood can't inherit heaven. We're going to be changed, the Bible says, in twinkling in the moment of an eye. And a moment in the twinkling of an eye. I get it. We're going to be changed. We're going to get our glorified bodies. I don't know what all God's got in store for us, but here's what I do know. I believe His Word when He said He's going to make us rulers. I believe His Word that He's got things for you and I to do. I don't care what it is. If God got it for me, it's got to be good. Right? But here's the thing. You've got to believe the Word and make it. First. It got right again. No, you've got to believe. And not a hope so. This is not a hope so salvation. I hope I'm going to heaven. No. You can know. How can I know? By believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that God raised Him from the dead. With your mouth confessing it is your Lord. When you do that, you make sure you have your place in heaven. Getting born again, and then living the Word. Just doing what He tells you to do. Yeah, but I'm afraid I'll mess up. Well, thank God for 1 John 1:9. I would that you sin not, but if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He participates blood for all of our sins. It was stuck there just a little bit. So, but yes, He's the one that takes care of it all. If you mess up, say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I messed up. And you're forgiven and is thrown to the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again. Believe the Word, church. Believe the Word. That's what we have to do. Now understand that God doesn't take a back seat to anybody. He doesn't take a back seat to anybody. He wants to be first in our lives. And if we'll put him first, believe His Word, then we'll receive everything He says we can have. Will you stand with me? Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you just help us all, Father, to get a greater revelation of your Word and what your Word means in our life. How that you have given us that Word, Father God, to help us bring to pass in our life not only salvation, healing, deliverance, prosperity, but God, all the other things that you want us to operate in as we operate in faith as we believe your Word, Father God, that we can live this life, God, not as paupers, but God as victors. Not as those that are beggars and outsiders, but as children of God in the family of God and having dominion as you told us to have as we occupy till you come. I pray today, Father, that if there's somebody here today that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that hasn't believed and acted on your Word concerning salvation, that today will be the day that they receive Jesus Christ into their life, and they'll know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. Father, you speak to hearts as only you can, because you're the only one that can do it, and we give you glory and thank you for that. If you're in this place right now and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, maybe you're in this place and you've backed away from God, you've backslidden, you've got to the place where you don't have that relationship. In either case, I want to give you an opportunity to come.